everyone. Thanks for tuning in. And welcome back to Classics No Zone Podcast, where we share industry tips from travel industry experts. I'm Cynthia Gordica, Education Marketing Manager for Classic Vacations. In part three of our four-part Grow Your Business podcast series, we're listening in on a recent Learning Lounge session featuring Cindy Novotny, a well-known figure in the hospitality industry and the original founder of Master Connection Associates, MCA. In this session, Cindy discusses how to handle objections to deliver a win-win scenario. Let's listen in.
All right. Well, thank you. And welcome back to all of you that have been on our other webinars. And welcome to all of you that are brand new. We're excited to have you. You know, one of the things that I truly believe in, and if you know me at all or you've listened to me on any of these webinars, I'm a person that actually thinks a little stress can maybe move you positively forward. Now, some people disagree. They go, well, that's because you cause stress. I go, no, I don't really cause stress. I just try to be positive and try to keep people focused. But you've heard me talk about we're playing the biggest championship game of our life. I believe that we have to practice with intent. We have to make sure we practice harder than when we play the game. And then in the game, and if you've ever competed in sports, I was in gymnastics when I was young, you know, I would stand there on the sidelines and I would watch my competition and they would do a great job. And that stress just started to really get me going. Well, that's the same thing with what we're dealing with in handling objections. And handling objections is not just about the situation that we're in at any given time like we're in now. It is ongoing all the time. When business is great, when business isn't great, you are always going to have objections. And it's how you stay fluid during that, which allows you to keep going back to that funnel and staying on task. You know, one of the things that happens is a customer will try to throw objections to you and get you off your game. And really then, if you go out of that funnel, whether you're probing or you're presenting, you start to lose track of where you are. Using this process that we're going to teach you with objection handling will allow you to move past no and close the business in a much better way. The more a customer objects, the more they're really putting themselves out there for you. So there are, we know that there's trouble all the time everywhere. I hate to say it, but you and I have been through it all, not maybe as much as like, maybe I'm older, so I've seen more, but there are health concerns. COVID is just one. There was Zika virus before that. There was H1N1 before that. Swine flu before that. There's hurricanes. There's terrorism. You know, there's, and again, I hate to harp on the stuff. Travel advisories, all right? And then there's been heightened airport security for a very long time. So there's a lot of people that have hesitation because they don't know or they have unanswered questions. So when you take anxiety and then you take unmet expectations, they're afraid that that hotel is going to be out of business or that cruise that they're going to go on isn't going to have all the excursions, all these things. Those feelings are real, and it's okay to have a customer share them. I'd rather somebody share them with me than just hold it in, and then they don't book the trip with me, and I don't know why. Was it price? Was it location? So unanswered questions or hesitation is really what equals objections. That's really what it boils down to every time we turn around. So your goal, as we've done in every bit of our webinars, you know, from probing to presenting, telling a story, is you have to be prepared. So if you have not done a good probing process, you haven't asked a lot of questions, these objections are going to hit you just like that when you get ready to try to ask for the business. And you don't want to wait till that point. So when you're asking the questions, we don't want you to say, now, what objections do you think you're going to come up with? No, you don't have to say that. You don't have to say, what concerns do you have? You can say, tell me what's important to you. What are you looking for? So if you were on our other ones, remember probing, you're asking questions to get them to talk about themselves. You don't have to focus on the negative, but you want to ask those questions. Well, anybody that has some serious doubt, they may then say to you, well, you know, I'm excited, but you know, we're going to take our family and we're going to take my parents and they're a little older. So I'm a little concerned about that. That is in the probing process, you're learning it. So you're going to be able to sell to that with your great ideas and solutions, because you're going to convince them to go to this resort that has villas. So there's no high rise. It's all outdoors, and you can have families out around the personal pools. But if you don't ask those questions and you wait until the end, that's when you get hit with objections, and you've wasted a lot of time, energy, and truly the time of the client. You know, you remember, you are not an order taker. You are not just at the end of the call just saying, how many rooms, where are you going, where are you flying, how many people, who's in your party. You have to know the traveler's needs in order to be able to make sure that proposal and presentation is not canned, but it is completely customized. Then the client will not have as much hesitation, because you're focusing on them first, and you are knowing the difference, remember, between implied and explicit needs. Implied needs are the things they don't come right out and tell you. Explicit needs, we want to go on a cruise, we want to go to Hawaii, we want to go to Florida, it doesn't, whatever. How many people, when we're going, what our budget is, where we'd like to stay, those are all explicit needs. What's beneath the surface is what is really their motivator and their expectations, but it's way beyond price. Way beyond price. Why will they buy? Why will they buy? And that's where you dig deeper. So remember, this is critical, because if I just review how to overcome an objection, you're leaving out the most important part. You will have less objections if you do the probing process correctly. Broad, open-ended questions, focus in, then you pivot to selling. If you get below that surface and talk about implied needs, you'll have less objections. All right, so now let me take you through how to handle some of these objections. Whether it's price, whether it's fees, whether it's insurance, buying insurance, anything that it might be, okay? Why should I use you? Like, why couldn't I do this on my own? Obviously, we know why, but you know, that came up. We're gonna teach you a four-step process, and believe me, this works. This is a communication tool that you can use everywhere. So it really is about creating a solution without just telling them what you're going to do. So every time you're faced with one of these objections, price, COVID, afraid they're going to get a business, fees, you know, why should I use you, safety, I'm nervous, I don't want to buy insurance, whatever it might be, you listen, you empathize, you ask a question before you produce the solution. So you'll see that it goes around like this: listen, empathize, ask, and produce. So we'll look at each of these individually so you can see why it's so important. So we're going to start with listening. You know, I grew up with a mother that always said to me, you've got one mouth and two ears, okay? Right? You need to use these. People are not normally some of the best listeners, and it is a fact. You know, everybody's multitasking, even when you're talking to a client. And that's what I think Zoom and all these different, you know, applications are going to be so good for our digital communication now, because now people are used to this. So it's really difficult to be multitasking when the customer's talking to you when you're supposed to be looking and smiling at them. So I would encourage more of this all the time. You can connect much better. But if you look at the word listen and silent, they are the same letters, just mixed up. In order to listen, you have to stop talking. And the problem is that we stop talking when we're ready to say something, but we may not have been listening. So the whole message is, while they're talking, take notes. So when they're talking, they're going to say, I'm just really still a little hesitant about safety or cleanliness, or I'm worried about this might be too much money, whatever it is, you're writing. Now you're going to move into a mini probing process with Lead. So after you're listening and actively listening, so as we move on to look at listening, listening is active listening. What is the most important part? You have to listen. Actively listen, show interest, and demonstrate you care. you know, even if you are not face-to-face, if you're face-to-face like this, you're seeing people nod. You're seeing people go, okay. But if you're on the phone, you've got to, okay. Because have you ever been on the phone with somebody that's selling to you and you're throwing out your objection and they're just, it's like they're not paying attention. They're literally, there's like nothing. And you'll say, are you still there? Oh, yes. So pay attention, but make sure you're not totally silent. So, okay. But don't interrupt them. Don't start coming up with a ton of ideas like, oh, okay, no problem on that. Let me tell you what I can do. Don't be judgmental. Listen without judging. As you really go through this, do not judge. Don't think like, why are they asking that? It's so ridiculous. Get all that talk out of your head. Now, once you listen, you then move to empathizing. Now, empathy is not sympathy. Empathy is not apathy. Empathy is not agreeing. You don't have to say, oh, I totally get it. I mean, the price is so high. Or I know how afraid you are. I'm afraid too. I haven't flown yet. No. Do not do this. Empathy is mirroring the behavior of your client. You don't want to make them feel bad. Like, what are you worried about? Everybody's cleaner than ever. I mean, oh my gosh. Or it's not that expensive. No, we don't talk like that. And you know that. But you need to be able to just take a breath and simply mirror their behavior. Just acknowledge what you heard. So I get it. Everybody's got a budget. But, or I understand that many people are nervous, you know, on how they want to, you know, get out and travel. So once you are empathizing, you are softening the bridge to asking questions, which again is the goal. So you listen, you empathize, and you show that you understand their concern. You see, I can see you're disappointed in that. I understand that, you know, checking in early is really important to you. So let me ask you a couple questions. So notice it's just, I understand. So as you begin to ask the questions, you uncover what they're really talking about. So, you know, I just use check-in as an example. If somebody says, you know, well, we're going to get to Hawaii very early in the morning, so we want to make sure we can get into our room. And maybe they can't get into their room till 3 o'clock. And some of the flights are night flights and they get in at, you know, 9 a.m. So you say to them, so I understand, because that's something that we all want to do. Let me ask you, what are your plans for that very first day that you're checking in? Ask them. Don't give solutions. Just ask. You might find out something very simple like, well, we just want to go to the pool, but, you know, we want to get in our suits. Well, 90% of every resort has places for people to change. They'll hold their luggage. They can go to the pool. But don't just start with that, because it may not be that at all. They may be dropping everything off. They want to change and they want to go meet some friends for a barbecue that night. Well, then I'm going to take a different approach, but I still can get them changed. I can do some different things. So if they say the price is too high, all right, I've already softened the blow by saying, I understand budgets are important, you know? So can I ask you, how far off are we on what we're talking about? Don't start giving solutions, just ask. It may be a very small margin or it may be very large. So very important. Very important. Can you share with me your thoughts about this? If it's insurance, you know, people, you know, I don't want to buy the insurance. I don't need it. I'm young and we're healthy. You know, we don't have to jump into, oh, well, do you know that young people have heart attacks? And I knew a guy that broke his leg. And I mean, you've got to think about it, because one person was taking a selfie and fell off of a cliff and then, you know, broke their back and had to be life-flighted. Okay, we don't have to go there yet on this. We have to ask a question. So the best thing, again, one of the other best things, not a lot came out of COVID, is that people now are more sensitive because of the cancellations and force majeure and everything we went through, because none of us ever faced this. We faced this occasionally with hurricanes and earthquakes and you know, civil unrest in different places around the world, but we've really never faced it with the whole world, right? So you can say, you know, if it's not a client you've worked with in the past, so you don't know about, you know, what they dealt with when before COVID, you can say, did you have any friends that had to deal with cancellations, you know, in regards to COVID, and let them talk. Now, if they say no, say, well, let me share with you, then you can go into producing that, you know, based on a percentage of your entire trip, it really would make sense to give you peace of mind, make it easy, make sure that there's no problem if a part of the trip cancels or your luggage is lost or the flights are delayed, they're going to get you on another flight. So you're sharing now your ideas about that, you know, charging for a fee. You want to ask questions and you want to really uncover what their concern is and how much time they feel it's going to take. And where could you add more value? What could I do to make this seriously work for you? All right, before you produce that solution. So you listen, you empathize, you ask, and you produce a solution. And the solution may be a next step. What you do want to avoid, though, is lip service. So you know lip service. It's like you don't want to do that. What you want to do is you don't want to listen and produce. You seriously want to be able to listen, empathize, ask, and then produce every single time. So listen like you care. And I know you all care, but I too have to be reminded to listen like I care. And the way I do that is I take notes while they're talking. That Right. stops me from speaking and interrupting them. So listen actively to what they're saying. Remember empathy. Empathy is merely mirroring their behavior. First of all, thank you for sharing. I can understand. I know this is important. Can you just reiterate it for me? Let me make sure I understand what you're specifically talking about. Soften it. Look at empathy as like a bridge from listen to ask. And you know another example I give? It's like when you are, if you're an attorney and you're cross-examining someone, you know, it's like you listen and then say, so why did you do that? So you don't want to just listen and then go, so why is the price too high? It's kind of not that warm. And you need to warm up your asking. You know, I'm a very direct person, so empathy helps soften my asking. So when you then get to ask, there's a lot of questions. Even if you don't, you think to yourself, I don't have a question yet. So share with me. You said you don't want the insurance. You're concerned about paying the extra money. So what are you concerned about? Don't just jump into why they should get it. Right. What are you concerned about? And have you had any friends that have ever had an issue with a cancellation or had any friends that they did have insurance and it really did help? Right? Because a real story after you've asked them, because it may not be that they're afraid of hurting themselves or afraid of getting sick. It may be that it's just not in their budget, but they haven't taken into consideration flight cancellations, loss of luggage, the hotel is sold out and they've got to move to somewhere else. They haven't taken all of that into consideration. So you ask these questions before you produce the solution. So you listen, you empathize, you ask, and you produce. When you go through that four-step model, it definitely starts to build rapport. So remember, I'm just going to back up for a moment. Probing, you ask all these open-ended questions to get the customer to talk about themselves. You then move to presenting and sharing your stories and talking all your excitement, which we've already done. In the middle of all that, you get the, so the only thing I'm concerned about is this. That is when Leap jumps in. See, so think of the leapfrog. You don't wait and say, no, you can't object until I'm done with my presentation funnel. You don't do that. You jump in and you start using Leap right there and say, okay, first of all, thank you for sharing and I appreciate you stopping me right there. That's empathy. Can I ask you specifically what you're concerned about as it relates to A, B, and C? Stop talking and start writing, jotting down, right? After they go through it, you might ask a few more questions, just like we do in the probing process. All right, let me clarify this. Is it really about A or about B? After you've uncovered what's important, then you can move to producing a solution. But throughout this whole time, we're having a conversation. We're not just talking at somebody. So make sure you're checking in. So after you produce your solution, it's not just a done deal. How does it sound? You think it'll work? I mean, have I answered your questions? You're asking, can I answer anything else? Have I missed anything? Don't be afraid to put it out there. Don't be afraid to make sure that you are engaging in great conversation. Now, I'm not saying any of you would ever be this, but I'm going to tell you right now, I hear people in the service industry, in the hospitality, in travel, in hotels, get a little judgy. You know what I mean? And hostile, not like totally crazy, but a little bit of criticizing or scolding. So let me give you some examples. Never starts insisting. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't get that insurance, this is what's going to happen. And you really need to listen. Don't start directing, never get defensive, right? You know, I'm not sure if it's worth me paying this fee because I could probably do it online. Leave. Empathize. All right. Yeah. A lot of people can do it online. But let me ask you a couple questions. What are some things that really made you pick up the phone in the first place to call me? Well, I don't really know a lot about South America. I needed to get a little help. The Google wasn't working. I don't have a lot of time because I'm working all the time. So you're asking questions. Don't get defensive. Anybody can get, they can say whatever they want. They can throw whatever mud they want to throw at me. And I just stay calm and I leave. Never argue with a customer. There are customers that will wind you up. Have you met them? Like, you bring up something and they actually argue with you, right? No, that's not in South America. Yeah, it is. All right. No, I didn't. Well, then that's not where I want to go. I guess it's Central America. And so don't argue. Ask them questions. What do you mean by that? Never scold, never act like you're not cooperating. Leap allows you to keep going in and out of it because so many times there is like a smokescreen, and that's what we call it. In sales, we call it a smokescreen. It's when the customer says price, but they don't mean price. It's when they say location, but they don't mean location. This, every time there is a smokescreen, it means you didn't do the probing process good enough. Because if I would have asked the right questions, I would have really gotten out all the things that were an issue to them. So if early on I said, tell me what's the most important, you know, thing to you in planning this trip, and price came up, we got to stay within this budget, I would have then asked, remember, focus in, let's talk a little bit about budget. What's your thoughts on how much you want to spend for this trip? Keep asking. Because at that point, I'm going to start to present around what they can afford. I'm going to have less objections because I asked those questions. Now, there are times you're not even dealing with the decision maker. Sometimes you're dealing with a personal assistant. You're dealing with a husband that's got to go back to the wife, a wife to the husband, a partner to a partner, girlfriends to girlfriends. You know, they're going to do a bachelorette party. They got to check with the bride. There's so many things that are actual smoke screens. That if you don't know who's making the decision, and if you remember in the probing process, we talk about the decision maker and we actually say, you know, in addition to you, are you going to involve anybody else in this decision? Because if they say, well, yeah, my sister, then I'm going to ask, well, tell me a little bit more about your sister and if there's anything that, you know, I can cover for her. Now, price came up. If price were the only reason people bought things, none of us would be here. Nobody would be selling anything because you just buy everything on an Amazon type platform. You would look for a better price. You would call hotels and it'd be for a cheap price, press one, for a medium price, press two, for an expensive big suite, press three. And there would be no issues. That is not how people actually buy. The consumer today is much more digitally advanced, but they want human connection. They want to talk to a professional. They want to talk to somebody who's been in Rwanda. They want to talk to somebody who actually did that cruise. They want to talk to somebody who went through the Panama Canal. They want to talk to somebody who has like knowledge and expertise. And I can assure you they do. So when they bring up price, 90% of the time, there's something else. So you have to make sure you don't back away. You don't drop price. You don't jump in there, because if you would have done the probing process right, you would have known what those real issues are. And when we uncover the real issues regarding service and preferences and all these things, it's much easier to then close the business. But one of the things that I said during probing is don't wait till you are doing your pitch and your idea is the initial, not that you're giving everything away and putting all your proposal together, to bring up a fee. So the idea is to say, are you familiar with, you know, travel advisor consulting fees? Because that's how I look at it. I'm not an agent. I'm an advisor. I'm a destination advisor. I do events. I do, you know, destination weddings. I am a consultant. That's what I do. Are you familiar with that? Because you're not the only ones doing it. Remember that. When they say no, because some people don't know that, but if they say no, it's okay. Say, all right, perfect. So what we do is we really spend a great deal of time with you asking you and finding out what's important so we can put together a really specific proposal based on exactly what you're looking for exactly the amount of money you want to pay. And because we put a lot of work into that, our fee is this. Now, they may object right then. You haven't even gotten through probing. And there's going to be people that are not your customer, and that's okay. But I want to find it out early on in the probing process. I don't want to get all the way to presenting and doing all this and trying to figure it out, and then they're not going to pay anyway. So then you're going to use Lee, and you're going to listen when they say, no, I don't. Well, I'm not going to pay for you to do all this. I should be able to do it on my own. Okay, I get it. I understand. But let me ask you a question. How familiar are you with Vietnam, where you want to go? Well, I'm not that familiar at all. All right, well, you can look on Google, you can go to different websites, you can go individually to all the hotel websites and the DMCs and all of that, but how much time do you think that'll really take? I ask it like that. Well, it won't take that long at all. Now, I have, because, you know, we do a lot of consulting and charge clients before because we're not going to give our ideas away either. I have done that, and they go, well, you know what, I'm just going to look into it and then I'll call you back or whatever. I say, all right, well, I'll stay in touch with you anyways, because I never give up, by the way. So I say, why don't you check it out? And then I'll call you, let's say, in a week. And I guarantee you, after they go on, you know how frustrating it is. It's the most frustrating thing in the world. It takes time. They look at that, then they're not sure about that. Then they read a bunch of trip advisors, and then they look at that, and then they call their friends, and none of them have been to Vietnam. So they really can't give them any advice. And so they go through all this. And when I follow up, they may not follow up with me, but I follow up with them. And I'll say, how's it going? Now, a lot of travel advisors don't follow up. They just write it off like that person doesn't want to pay the fee, so we're moving on. Well, I can assure you, if you try to let them dabble in it, then you follow up, it's going to be like a light bulb goes on. Because the flights, the connections, the ground transportation, all the excursions, everything they want to do is going to take a lot of time. So what happens is you're really trying not to be sarcastic or pushy or condescending. You're saying, fair enough, I get it. But it's you know, this is where my expertise lies. And this is what you're paying for. I save you time. I make sure you absolutely are in some of the best hotels based on what you said. You're traveling with your kids. Security is important. You want to make sure you're working with the right transportation company and you're going to go on a river cruise and you want to make sure it's the right river cruise. So you're asking these questions so that you can move to getting more business from them. So 100% I get it, but you have to be willing to put in the muscle to do that. I would never sit here and say all customers are your customers. No, they're not. And when I start asking those questions, and I find out they don't value my service at all. Nobody values anything until they value it. Honestly, until they really understand it. Now, there's plenty of customers that, you know, pay for advice from an interior designer, from somebody to do their closets, to organize. You know, they pay for instructors and yoga coaches. And many people understand that you are a consultative travel advisor. That's what you do for a living. You just don't sit and like tap, tap, tap and book this business. You actually are going to steer them in the right direction. But there are going to be customers who do not want to pay And that's okay. And they may not be your customer. And you are the only one that makes that decision. You are an independent, you're in business for yourself. You make the call. Do I want to do this because I just want the commission? Or do I want to do this because it's a friend of mine? You're making that call. But yes, absolutely. There are customers that aren't your customers.
What do you say after you provide your consulting fee and they ask, but don't you receive a commission?
Yeah, well, first of all, I do receive a commission, but that has nothing to do with all the work I'm going to do for you, because it's like a puzzle. I'm putting together the puzzle of getting you from, you know, Long Beach, California, all the way to Vietnam. And I'm making sure you have the right, you know, vaccines. I'm making sure you have the right health record to be able to show as you go into different countries, the right visas. All of this, no one's paying me to do. That's what I'm doing for you. And the amount of time it takes, and you may even know this because you've done it so much, you might know, you know, just to do the travel logistics, okay? Forget anything else that you are not getting paid commission on, takes XYZ amount of time. And you're sharing that. And that is what they're paying for. They're paying for your knowledge. They're paying for your insights. They're paying to make sure they have a peace of mind, because you are also at the other end of the phone to help them should things go awry. And they do. So in review, keep in mind, if you are getting a ton of objections, it means you didn't do the probing process right. And you must remember, the better you are on the beginning of it, the less objections you're going to have. Whenever we do sales training and we're doing the whole process in, you know, 3 days, and we're working with people and we're role playing, we leave objection handling to the end for a really good reason. If you do probing properly, you present features, adjectives, and benefits to what they needed, you'll have less objections. It's when you ask very tactical, transactional questions, and then you just start selling the same old stuff you keep selling. That's when you start getting the objections. It's also really important to understand that the way you close more business is to get the no out of their head. Because if you find that as you're selling your ideas and this beautiful island and this is the this, and it's just like, okay, there's not a lot of excitement. So right there, you're not going to say, oh, do you have an objection? But if I hear somebody, or if I'm looking at them going, and I can tell that they're not liking it, I'm going to stop. Remember I said check in? And I'm going to say, so what are your thoughts on that? Don't go through the whole sale. Just what are your thoughts on that? And be quiet. And then you'll hear the hemming, the hawing. Well, I didn't know. This might be in the first 10 minutes of the call. That's okay, because I'd rather uncover all of that so I can close more business, which is ultimately what we need to do.
Thank you all for joining us. For full-length Learning Lounge webinars, please visit classicvacations.com/learninglounge. Subscribe to our podcasts, or if you prefer, you can check out additional podcasts via classicvacations.com/no-zone. We hope you'll tune into our next Grow Your Business podcast, where Cindy discusses relationship building and follow-up skills. Please take care of yourself, stay safe, and have a great week.